Good afternoon again. And welcome to week number 3 of our Lenten series entitled Needy. And we're going to recap a little bit. Spirituality 101 is this, that there's a God, and it's not us. God is God precisely because he is self-sufficient in himself. He doesn't need anything. We do, but he doesn't. We have needs that we have to attend to thrive and survive. In fact, our whole being by its very nature is a vast collection of neediness, simple and complex at times, easily attainable, and at other times, completely out of reach. Think about all the needs that you have. Think of your physical needs. You need oxygen, you need nutrition, you need hydration. And then there are your emotional and your mental health needs. Have a need to be understood, a need for acceptance, a need for encouragement. At times we need self-confidence and self-esteem, and I think we all look for meaning and purpose. We need to work, we need to rest. And the list just keeps going. And on top of all those needs, we have spiritual needs as well. And God passes on to us the responsibility to tend to these needs. And we said how doing that outweighs almost every other responsibility that you have, and how on the surface that sounds selfish. But really, it's just common sense. Because you can't help anyone else until you take care of yourself. And if you don't, you will eventually become someone else's burden. On the other hand, when you do take care of yourself, you'll be more effective when you care for others. In fact, caring for yourself first can and should be preparation for service to others. And if you have responsibility of any kind, this is essential, because the first 50% of leadership is self-leadership. Here's what Jesus said. One time, someone asked him what was the most important thing of all, the most important thing ever. What was the greatest commandment? And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." As yourself. Jesus teaches that our very ability to love others rests first and foremost on our love and our care for ourselves. Most of us don't deny all of our needs all the time, but we do have a tendency to deny them from time to time. There have been times, I'm sure, in your heart of hearts that you knew you needed some help with something, but you didn't seek it out until you had no choice. When we deny even a single one of our legitimate needs, we're not moving towards health, but we're rather moving away from it. So we're taking the season of Lent here to take a closer look at just how needy we are, how to best meet those needs, and as a result, how to be healthier. We've talked about some of the temptations that we face when it comes to our needs. The first temptation is to meet legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. We are tempted from time to time to do something that we know is wrong, but we do it in order to meet a real need. Let's say we need to be at a meeting and we're running late. I'm sure none of us have done this. So all of a sudden, we're doing about 60 up US 1, and I'm cutting you off. We're running red lights. Well, I don't do that, but the other stuff I've done. The second temptation is meeting legitimate needs through shortcuts. With our needs, we are often tempted to settle for what is a shadow of the real and legitimate need that we experience, to take the easy way out, to go for the shortcut. And the third temptation is meeting our needs by worshiping them, by turning our needs into mini-gods, if you will, to make them the whole of our lives, to give them our attention, our affection, and to pursue them at all costs. This is like, for instance, the guy who arranges every weekend of the fall around football and all of his disposable income. all of his free time with his many fantasy football teams and his family time, and all of it goes into football. So today we're going to talk about two needs that go together. We are meant to live in rhythm between one and then the other. And life is a constant switching back and forth between them. To learn more about these needs, we're going to look at a passage from the book of Exodus where God gives the Ten Commandments. And don't worry, we're not going to look at all ten, okay? We're just going to look at one. But it's important to note that the Ten Commandments, God does not give them to us as a condition for his having a relationship with us, but he gives them to us in the context of a relationship. God didn't say, do these 10 things and then we'll talk. God delivers these commandments to the Israelites only after he had demonstrated his power by parting the sea and rescuing them from Egyptian slavery. He delivers the commandments only after he has blessed them abundantly in every way. Only then does God give them the commandments. The commandments themselves reveal God's priorities. They show that God is not only powerful, but that he is good. God gives 10 commandments really for successful living. They are key elements of good living. And the command that we're going to look at today is the third command, which says this: remember to keep holy the Sabbath. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then by you. And the commandment goes on to explain, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God works 6 days. He creates the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And then he creates the crown of his creation, human beings, in his image and in his likeness. And then after all this work of creation, God rests. Why? Is he worn out? Is he tired? No, God rests to set the pace and the pattern for how he wants us to live, the proper rhythm in which we function best. So let's take a quick look at this pace, this plan. God begins with work, and at one point, there was no creation. He decided to get to work and create something, not because he was bored, not because he had nothing to do, but out of the expansiveness of his love and grace. So he gets to work, and since we are made in the image and likeness of God, we are also to work. Notice the commandment says, 6 days you may labor and do all your work. The commandment assumes an inclination towards work, as if it's something we'll naturally want to do. Work is not a curse that is the result of sin. It's not some kind of punishment. Work is part of the plan. It's written into every act of creation. It's carved on our souls because we have been made in the image and the likeness of God. We not only need the produce or the profit of our work, we actually need the process of working. So it is important that we view work in the right way. And there are three different ways to look at work. One way to see work is as a job. I know what that was like for many years, because a job looks at work as something simply to pay the bills, to supply our basic needs. But when that's all it does, it's not very satisfying. Another way to look at work is as a career, moving up the ladder, making a name for yourself, building a nest egg. And this attitude toward our work might pamper and please our ego, but it also really doesn't satisfy. not as in satisfy our souls. The other way to look at work is as a vocation. Often when we hear that word, we think, well, I'm not going to be a priest or a nun. Vocation is to see your work as a calling, to see meaning and purpose in your work beyond yourself. People that look at their work as a vocation recognize the gifts that they've been given, gifts that they use in greater service to others for a higher purpose. And that kind of work can be soul-satisfying. And ultimately, if we have it, if we can find it, it's given to us by God. We need God to have soul-satisfying work. But that's only part of the plan. Remember, work is matched with rest. And rest also gives you the opportunity to enjoy the blessings that God provides. God once again sets this example in creation. Genesis tells us that after God creates everything, he proclaims it good. And then he stops creating, and he rests. Not just recreation, though it can be that. Not just running around to a lot of your kids' or grandkids' sports, though sport and physical activity has its place. Not just entertainment and distractions. Some people can't wait for the weekend to be over so they can get back to the more manageable schedule of work. That's time off from work, but it's not the kind of rest that we're talking about. We do this with our vacations. A classmate of mine, Father Nick, that I stay with in Kentucky, flew in here Monday night. He left here noon Tuesday. He drove across the state. He visited with two parishioners there. They took him to dinner. They played cards till 1 in the morning. He got up the next day. They took him to breakfast. Then he drove down and saw more parishioners. And they took him to dinner. And they took him here. And they took him there. Then he got up Thursday. He went and had breakfast with two more parishioners. And then he drove back across the state last night. I took him to breakfast this morning. And he left at noon. And he texted me that he is stuck on the tarmac at PBI waiting for Air Force One to take off. Now, when he, if he makes his connection, gets home to Kentucky tonight, do you think he's going to go, well, that was a restful vacation? We do this to ourselves. We need vacations from our vacations. So I told him, when I go home to Baltimore, I check in under an assumed name. I don't tell but four people I'm coming, and I set up dinner with them, and then I leave, because it turns into a concert tour. To find the kind of rest that we need to find God. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep need to be led to rest. They have to be made to lie down. And sometimes so do we. Well, not me. I can take a nap anytime. But most people. Just ask Father Gavin. But we're like sheep. We can't find rest on our own. We need to be led to it. We need God to lead us to rest. And this begins, believe it or not, with the weekend worship, with you coming here to Mass. Because when you make this a priority, you are putting your trust in God that he will lead you to a place of rest. And for our part here, one of our priorities in putting together this weekend experience for you is that it helps serve that purpose, that you can leave here and maybe be encouraged and equipped, perhaps even a little inspired, to go back out into your life and your work. God has built into our lives these dual needs, work and rest. When you hear this message, you probably tend towards knowing that right now you have a greater need for one more than the other. Maybe you're working in a job that's just a job or a career, but it's not a calling. You don't find any soul satisfaction there. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you have to make a change. Maybe you just need to look at what you're doing in a different light. Maybe from the impact or the perspective of the greater impact that your work has, or the giftedness that you've got to do it. Or maybe God is calling you to something else. Maybe that dissatisfaction is leading you in another direction. That's how I got up here in my 40s. God is calling you to perhaps work in a nonprofit. He is maybe calling you to priesthood or religious life. Maybe he's calling to you to work here. Be careful of that one. But for some of you, you're thinking, you know what? This isn't an issue for me at all. And if you love your work and you enjoy it, take some time this week then to thank God, because that's a great gift. And maybe you're a student and all of this is before you, or you're retired and you're asking, how does this apply to me? Take it to prayer. Prayerfully consider what your work is, what your work will be. Maybe it will be volunteering here in our ministries or in our missions. Or maybe you've heard this message and you realize that you do need more rest. Maybe you really don't have a Sabbath, a day where you really get to rest. Maybe you are tired down to your very soul. You realize that your pace of life is just not sustainable. Begin by asking God to help you find rest, to lead you to a place of rest. Knowing your needs and taking the time to meet them is not selfish. It's living in the reality that we are children of God, that He made us needy. So eventually, we'll understand that our greatest need is for Him.